Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Morning. Welcome. It's Friday, December the 16th. It is Dean Blundell and Company minus 9 right now. See a high today of minus 5 and no snow. Hold on. Busy hour this hour. Ron McLean, host of Hockey Night in Canada and Rogers Hometown Hockey on Sportsnet, will join us tell you where he is this weekend, not far from here. So if you want to go see the rolling convoy of hockey experts, and if you want to go have a good time.
Yeah.
And you want to get some free mitts and scarves and celebrate Canada's national pastime, we'll tell you where and when. Ron McLean will be our guest around 8:32 this morning. Also, Michael Grange, columnist on Sportsnet, joining us to talk about a piece he wrote last year during All-Star weekend when he sat down to talk with Craig Sager, who passed away yesterday at the age of 65. Really sad stuff. Battled cancer for a couple of years. Lost yesterday. Even though he really did win because of his attitude and what it showed people. Anyway, right. we'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes as well. So hold on. And Jason Lacken for NFL Insider CBS Sports is standing by. So busy, busy, busy. Here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean. Peter Holland scored the shootout winner for the Coyotes, beat the Maple Leafs 3-2 last night down at the ACC. Matthews and Marner scored for the Leafs, who are off tonight, host the Pittsburgh Penguins tomorrow right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Raptors gun for their 12th win in 13 games tonight at home against the Hawks, here at live right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. 7 o'clock pregame. The Blue Jays made a signing yesterday. 29-year-old Jeff Béliveau to a minor league contract.
Yeah.
He's a left-handed pitcher who throws in the high 80s, low 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night or last night, the Seahawks beat the Rams 24-3 in Seattle. They clinch the NFC West.
Thank you, sir. It is 8:03. Pleasure to welcome back to the show NFL Insider CBS Sports, Jason Lacken for Jay. How are we?
Good.
Yeah?
What's going on up there? We got some of your weather down here, man.
Jeez-o-whiz.
It's cold.
Yeah, how cold is it?
For the love of Pete, it's cold down here.
Well, how cold?
It's like with our windshield factor yesterday was like R0.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is with you guys, but it's.
What is that? It's like minus.
It's supposed to be 60 degrees on Sunday. I don't know.
It's going to be super cold in Chicago this weekend. They were talking about it yesterday on NFL Today, where they said that this could be one of the colder games played at Soldier Field.
Wow. I'm glad I'm not there. It's cozy in our studio.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking about it this morning on the way in too, because you're getting to a lot of these games. You remember the game in Minnesota last year? And was it Cam Chancellor almost froze his fingers off, like
yeah.
The skin peeled off his fingers?
Oh,
is there ever a thought to back up the NFL season by a month or two?
You mean like to make it go even deeper into the winter?
No, like back it up so that it doesn't go this deep into the winter.
Not really. I really haven't heard any rumblings or chatter about that. I think they kind of like how it fits into the sporting schedule, where it's pretty much over before anybody cares that much about the NBA, right? The NBA All-Star game, I feel like, is like usually right around the time of the combine or whatever, or a week or two after the Super Bowl. It overlaps with baseball somewhat, but that's going to be inevitable. No, I don't think they're going to shift it around. What they keep trying to do is find these little sort of treasure troves of ratings points and entertainment value to keep sprinkling throughout the rest of the year. Look what they're trying to do with the Pro Bowl now, right? Now skills competition. They're always trying to find ways to kind of spruce that up, and they keep playing around with the dates for the draft. It was in May a couple times. Now it's back at the end of April. They've played around with free agency, where now they create this window, this sort of, tamper-free window, where I don't think it's done much to spruce it up. But they're at least trying. You know, they're contemplating different things. So I think it's more about how they continue to try to win the offseason when they don't have games going on. You know, there's a lot of chatter about a developmental league. It was something that the GMs discussed for the first time at the owners' meetings last week. There'll be discussions about that with coaches at the Senior Bowl and with players at the Pro Bowl, and then with pretty much the competition committee and everybody else during the combine to try to see if there's a way to find a 6 to 8 week period of the off season, or perhaps they do an in-season academy to continue to develop players, officials, to give basically more reps to people that aren't provided for now with this CBA that really is kind of truncated training camp.
Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider, CBS Sports, our guest, 8:07 last night. The Rams lose big again, 24-3 to the Seahawks, and Jared Goff exits the game, and Case Keenum comes in, and really, who cares?
Right.
But I saw Jared Goff miss poorly many times last night, and the start that he's had, I mean, he's shown moments, and obviously he didn't play for a reason under Jeff Fisher, and a new coach, you know, who knows, but I can tell you this, everything that I've seen from him in a very short period of time says that he still needs a ton of work.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much debate about that. The debate is what is the upside, and there's some evaluators who, guys from other teams, guys who don't have a dog in this fight, but guys who I just talk to a lot regularly about their evaluations of certain players, you know, starting way back when these guys are underclassmen in college and moving forward. And you know, there's about five or six guys who I really, really trust. And I'd say four of them think the kid was highly overdrafted but could still be a nice starting quarterback. And there's two who think he's a franchise quarterback who is being undermined by the lack of a coaching staff there, by the lack of any talent there, by that dismal offensive line, by them now not even being able to run the ball despite having Todd Gurley. So, you know, we're going to find out, because I suspect they do whatever they can to get a big boy coach in there, somebody with a proven pedigree, somebody who's won with who's developed quarterbacks, somebody who's won at the highest level, somebody who's an offensive guru. And then what we're going to find out, you know, Stan Kroenke, one of the reasons that job is so attractive now, despite Kroenke's dismal record, is that, like, he literally is so, even by his ridiculous, you know, Mr. Burns-like wealth standards, he's so leveraged on this deal that he needs it to work. I mean, the league needs it to work. He's putting so much of his own money into that stadium. He can't afford to have a product there that people don't want to buy, and they don't want to, you know, pick up five-year options on their PSLs and, you know, whatever, 10-year options on their luxury suites. Like, this has to work. So he's got to spend money. The product has to be worthy of people getting off the beach and, you know, whatever, leaving the fish taco stand and going in and watching those games in Inglewood in 2 years. So they know they have to build a much better village around Jared Goff, and now there's going to be a lot of new people in charge, you know, trying to pick those players and make those evaluations and decisions to try to get to that point. But they're an abject failure on offense. I mean, you can pretty much pencil them in for 0 to 3 points at halftime of any game. Like, I can't remember many games this year where they had multiple scores in the first half of a game.
A lot that's of 9-3
like,
games.
Like impossible dream. Yeah, I mean, the road game they won at the Meadowlands was 9-6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And over the Jets, like, they don't score in the first half of games.
Jason, Al, and Chris were talking about that last night, that because they're in Los Angeles, not only do they have to win, they got to put some points up on the board to maybe, you know, excite that fan base you're talking about. But it's also maybe bringing in a high-profile coach.
Yeah.
Who could that guy be? John Gruden, maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. I'm going to talk to more people in the next couple of days who know him really well. And just what I've heard to this point, I know on the broadcast they kind of discounted that. They threw some names out there and said, yeah, but we don't think it'll be any of them. So, you know, maybe Josh McDaniels or Kyle Shanahan. I look, Harbaugh's not going anywhere. Pete Carroll's not going anywhere. Saban's not going anywhere. Gruden, I wouldn't categorically, you know, deny any possibility that he might want to listen to the LA Rams. So that one's the one that can develop. And then I think what Plan B could quickly emerge there as would be possibly trading for Sean Payton. And going and getting a guy with a Super Bowl under his belt who is a extremely accomplished quarterback whisperer. Who his whether even when they lose in New Orleans, they don't lose boring. You know what I mean? They lose fun. They lose 38-35, but at least like you feel like you got your money's worth. So I expect them to exhaust all those sort of options, and then if there's nothing in those, you know, sort of nothing from plan A, nothing from plan B, then yeah, Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan would be the names that clearly at the head of the list for them in terms of current coordinators who are going to be head coaches in 2017.
Jason Lacafoire again, NFL Insider, CBS Sports. You wrote about Rex Ryan's immediate future being in question, and that ruffled some feathers, and he was asked about it at a press conference. He said, hey, listen, no one's told me I'm getting fired. And then, of course, the Tyrod Taylor thing, which I found very interesting, that the general manager, who, by the way, obviously hasn't done a good job himself, is now evaluating. Yeah,
blow the whole thing up.
Absolutely.
But you know how it works. You got a guy down there coaching. And look, I'm not Rex. There's a lot of things that have happened there. A lot of behind the scenes buffoonery on top of the buffoonery that everybody sees. That at a certain point, I'll be able to fully report on. But they basically got the owner's mind made up that we can't go through this again in 2017. If the GM and other executives in that building got their way, this change would have been made after the Pittsburgh game. They wanted Anthony Lynn to take over and then give Cardale Jones a shot. And if we look at their final three games, if they were to go 2-1 down the stretch or win all three, which wouldn't be out of the question regardless, then it could be problem solved. They've got a coach there who's not going to give them a lot of pushback and brushback, a guy who'd be happy to do the job, a guy who they could probably control to a certain degree, actually control to a large degree. And then away we go. Nothing to see here. We've got the talent. We were just held back by coaching. Now, if Pegula had the right sort of connections around the league, if he knew who to talk to, if there were outside voices he could really trust, I have no doubt that they would say, "You got to start completely over, buddy. You got to gut that thing and move forward with a completely different cast of characters in terms of personnel and coaching." And maybe it gets so bad behind the scenes there, and maybe he gets so sick of people lobbying for the coach to be fired in his ear that he just decides, hey, I'm just going to whack everybody. But it is bad there. It is toxic there. And it never looked from the onset like this group would last more than 2 years. Now the question is, do they actually get all the way through this season?
They got rid of their offensive coordinator, as you pointed out, and Lynn became the new offensive coordinator. And then, that was prior to, of course, Rex Ryan's name being mentioned as someone that was going to be replaced. But you never hear that Doug Whaley needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
You never hear that he might be the issue. And as far as I know, he's been the one consistent member of this organization that's been around for, certain inceptions of suck. And he's also engineered parts of that. So why is he not on the radar?
If Pegula was talking to the right people outside of that building, I think he would be looking to detonate the entire thing. Who he mostly talks to, though, are Doug and Russ and people who are in that inner core who have a vested stake in staying there and having it remain as close to status quo as possible, just with a less sort of rambunctious head coach. A guy who we don't have to babysit as much. But no, I mean, look, you go through their series of personnel moves. You read my stuff. I haven't defended any of it. I mean, the overdrafting of EJ Manuel that was then amplified by the overcompensation to give up what they did in the Sammy Watkins trade, in which there were numerous better and healthier receiver options available. Then the Tyrod Taylor signing, which was good, but then the contract this year has created issues. It's kind of become a bit of an albatross around the kid's neck, and certainly he wanted it, but the way the contract was structured, it hasn't brought out the best in his play, and it's left them in a situation where they don't feel like they can move forward with him, certainly not at the price tag that they have on him for that option. I mean, the Shady McCoy trade was fine. You didn't have to then repay a running back. Just because Drew Rosenhaus was saber rattles for a couple of hours doesn't mean you have to immediately kowtow and then throw more money at him at a time when he had just been made one of the highest paid running backs in the league. I mean, we could go on and on. I mean, I people around the league are shocked it's lasted this long, and people are like, he's going to get to hire a third coach? I mean, maybe you would say that he and Marone sort of came in together but separately, so whether you would say, oh, that's not really a Whaley hire or not, I mean, I guess that's debatable. But if his tenure were to outlast, you know, into a third head coach, that's pretty rare. Usually you have to be pretty special for that to happen.
And just to further what you're saying, you know, for me, not just the inability to win being a red flag, and that's usually the biggest one, and you're the architect, but you know, what he did to Tyrod Taylor this week and what he said about Tyrod Taylor this week, I thought to myself, if I'm the Pegulas, do I want that guy running around questioning my starting quarterback no matter how bad things are right now, and he's the guy that put this thing together?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. The crazy thing is, if the thing with Polian had come together, and in the end Polian pulled out because the Hall of Fame wouldn't alter, sort of make an exception about how their clock works in terms of retirement and when you can get in. So when he found out for sure that, oh yeah, your 5-year clock starts all over, and he pulled out, then those guys sort of saved their jobs. But like, Polian's recommendations were no, you're going to keep Marone. Whaley's out. I'm coming in. My son's coming with me. I've got other people to come and help scout and personnel. Like, that thing was he was very close to being out then. And if this were to actually extend, again, into another coaching regime, a coach that he would have the ability to at least in some part influence the hiring of, it's baffling. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's part of the toxicity of that building. But, again, you got to look at how it works. While Rex is doing his stuff on the sidelines, the guys in the suits are in the box with the owner saying, he screwed that up. Why isn't he playing this guy? Why isn't he playing that guy more? How come they're not running the whole offense through Sammy? Sammy's our best player. Like, so you hear that enough, and you're not, you know, Pegula didn't come in like, you know, this isn't, you know, Jerry Jones, you know, who played all his life and played in college or whatever. Like, you know, it's a very different situation. He's kind of figuring all this out on the fly, and the people he's learned to trust, I would say, very often have their own self-interest ahead of, you know, what's going to be best for that team. But, you know, to some degree, I guess that's the nature of it. But, you know, Doug's wife and Pegula's wife are very close. Like, this, you know what I mean? It becomes, at a certain level, not always about football. I mean, you can look at people in various places and why they've lasted so long, and it has more to do with their relationship with the owner than anything else.
Jason, Sunday night, blockbuster game in Dallas, the Red Hot Bucks and the Cowboys. If Dak Prescott struggles in this game, does it get really hot for Dak Prescott to be the starting quarterback? Or do you think the Cowboys would actually consider starting Tony Romo?
I think, and let's just strip it down to what we're really talking about. I mean, I wrote a column about this week where I talked to different people around the league about what they would do, but the bottom line is it only matters what Jerry would do. And if, you know, this is 3 straight weeks under 200 yards passing, this is a team that on third down the last 2 weeks, when the ball's in Dak's hand, when he either runs with it or drops back to throw, they've converted 2 of those 29 opportunities. You know, this is he's got a quarterback rating of 19 on third down the last 2 weeks. He started to turn the ball over. Dez Bryant, Jason Witten have done nothing for a month, and the running game is slowing down a little bit because people are increasingly realizing Cole Beasley, the slot guy, if we can take him away, it's really Beasley and Zeke Elliott. So as this thing constricts against better defenses, but newsflash, that's who you play in January, I think Jerry told you who he really was this week. And then Aikman put him in line, and then Jerry came back and kind of tried to qualify his statements. But he loves all this. He relishes this to a certain degree. And Tony Romo has been his favorite son for a long time. He's given him $127 million. He's paying him $18 million this year. How comfortable do you think he is watching him hold a clipboard while this offense, as effective as it has been, can't complete a ball 30 yards downfield? I mean, what's going to win in big boy football time in January? You know, is it going to be the second fewest attempts with the ball travels over 20 yards in the air in the entire league? Or is it going to be the ability to create more splash plays, to get more out of Dez Bryant, to have more multiplicity in that offense? I think it's going to be a very, very real discussion if this game Sunday night looks like the 3 that preceded it.
Hey, listen, Jay, as always, great to have you on a Friday. Great to go into the weekend and spend some time with you today. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy your family. Enjoy
pleasure.
The football.
You guys do the same. Thank
Talk
you.
To you
Stay
soon.
Warm up there.
You too. Thanks, man. Jason Lacken for NFL Insider, CBS Sports. Dropping it like it's hot about the Bills, eh? What a mess.
Oof. Fascinating stuff.
My favorite part that he said was something he said he couldn't say. I love that when people do that. Drives me crazy, but I still love it because you know there's more to come out.
100%.
Where he does this one. If I told you what was going on with the Bills, and, well, and, I can't tell you what's going on with the Bills, but if I told you, boy, oh boy, that is, and he said toxic. That is the most toxic environment in the NFL.
But good on the Pegulas for trying to make a splash and bringing in a guy like Rex Ryan. Going to spend the money and bring in a high-profile coach.
Yep.
His old Ralph Wilson never did that.
8:21. Good morning. It is currently minus 10. Thanks to Jay for joining us. We got Ron McLean on deck. Hold on. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Unfortunate news yesterday of the passing of Craig Sager. He was a sideline reporter for TNT and always covered basketball. He covered baseball. He was a sportsaholic. More importantly, I don't know that you would meet anybody. And I was listening to Brunt talk about this yesterday with Sid, and listening to the world react to the way and what Craig Sager meant to them, to the way he was to them, to the people that knew him. And, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people spend their entire life trying to get somewhere and do something. Craig Sager spent his whole life enjoying something. And that's reflective in what people said about him yesterday. Case in point, Charles Barkley yesterday talking on TNT about the loss of his longtime colleague, Craig Sager.
I felt like I lost a brother today. And I feel great sadness for myself, but I feel so much sadness for his wife, Stacy, and the kids, because this battle, man, no person that I've ever met in my life who wanted to live more. I mean, that guy battled so hard, 3 bone marrow transplants had never been done before. I should tell Ernie, when we used to go see Sager, when you leave the room with Sager, you feel like, is there anything wrong with that guy? He had the most positive attitude of anybody I ever seen going through that situation. And my life is better. Sports is better for knowing Craig Sager.
Now, he wasn't the only guy that paid tribute to him yesterday. Really, the basketball world and the sporting world did, as one of the finest people in sports. Not sportscasters. He was great at that. That was a gimme. But people. And that was really echoed by his speech last year as he received the Courage Award, the Jimmy V. Courage Award at the ESPYs. Here it is. Here's his speech. And it takes a little time. But enjoy this, because this is truly a reflection of the man that's being mourned today.
If I've learned anything through all of this, it's that each and every day is a canvas waiting to be painted. An opportunity for love, for fun, for living, for learning. To those of you out there who are suffering from cancer, facing adversity, I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world. The way you think influences the way you feel, and the way you feel determines how you act. And to everybody out there, we are making progress, incredible progress. As the vice president said, the moonshot program, we are going to find a cure for cancer, but we need your help. We must continue to donate. We must continue to fight. And we must continue to do this together.
That is Craig Sager at the ESPYs last year, the passing of Craig Sager at the age of 65 yesterday after a 2-year-long battle plus with leukemia. And he'll be missed by many. Hold on. We will get to Ron McLean from Rogers Hometown Hockey next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of Tim Blundell and Company.
Face drop.
Listen online at sportsnet.ca/590.
Hey, 8:31. Welcome to your Friday. It is the 16th day of December. Minus 10 right now. See a high today of minus 5. And we were just having a weather argument in here. Apparently, yeah, I know. That's what we do when we're not on the air being serious sports journalists. We're being serious meteorologists. There's a mixed view as to what's going to happen over the next 24 hours. apparently the snow's going to start coming down like in the next 5-6 hours. It's not going to stop till tomorrow morning, from what I've heard, and intermittently through to tomorrow as well. But there's also reports that it won't start until tomorrow morning. So, listen, I'm no Frankie McDonald. No idea. I'm no whoever does weather here. Who's that guy again?
Commander Tom.
No. Who's the guy here? What's his name? Forget it.
Jill Taylor does
weather. I'm no Jill Taylor. But
you are certainly not, sir.
Yeah. But it's going to snow. That's all I know, for sure, in the next little while.
Harold Hossein still do the weather for 680?
Yeah, he sent it in today, Harold. There you go.
Oh, I like Harold.
Is that who
you're
thinking of?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay. This is the worst weather update ever, by the way.
I'm not a meteorologist.
We're not sure,
I'm
but
telling
we think
you
it's going to snow,
that, that
but
some
we
people
don't know
said,
when.
We really got knows. It yesterday afternoon, and we got it good. And then we're going to get it apparently today night sometime. And then tomorrow for sure. That's your weather update.
Weather can even be more inaccurate than we are and then get away with it.
Extreme cold air.
That's happening for sure.
Can we talk, what? Can we talk to Ron McLean?
Yeah, Ron McLean standing by and apparently in the same car as Tara Sloan. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So we may get to both of them this morning. Good. That's nice. Coming up in a minute. Rogers Hometown Hockey is in Milton. We'll get to those details and talk about this weekend and a couple other pressing issues. Hold on. That's next right now. Time for an update. George's last one before he leaves for vacation.
Woohoo!
George who?
Yeah.
Russick.
Yeah, hi. And it's brought to you by your Toronto area Ford dealers. Leafs lost last night in the shootout 3-2 the Coyotes. Peter Holland got the shootout winner for Arizona. Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner scored the goals for the Leafs, who host the Pittsburgh Penguins tomorrow right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 7 o'clock. Raptors gun for their 12th win in 13 tonight at home against the Atlanta Hawks. You can hear it live right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan starting at 7 with the pregame show. Hey, the Blue Jays made a move yesterday, and they signed 29-year-old lefty Jeff Beliveau to a minor league contract. He throws in the high 80s and low 90s and had shoulder surgery in 2015.
So we got a guy with vision issues 2 days ago, and then we got a guy with shoulder issues yesterday. Should be awesome.
Lottery tickets, Dean. Sometimes you got to throw them out because they don't win. Hey, Seahawks clinched the NFC West thanks to a 24-3 win over the Rams last night in Seattle.
Thank you, sir. It is 8:34. Always a pleasure to welcome our next guest / guests. It's a two-for-one, if you will. Driving up to Milton, I believe, today, or in the same car at some variety. Please welcome to the program Mr. Ron McLean, and I believe Tara Sloan is there, too. Hello, everyone. How are we?
In all our glory. Good morning, Dean. Good morning, George.
Look at that. It's like a,
party line.
Yeah, it's like a, I feel like, like it's 3 in the morning, and I'm 15.
Well, let me just start with a weather comment, because we're going to have to deal with it going over to Milton.
Yeah.
I was a weatherman, Dean. That's how I started my career in Red Deer at CKRD, and I was very proud of the fact that David Letterman, who shares my birth date, April 12th, was a weatherman, so I thought I had a bright future. Anyway, I was feeling quite cocky about my background, and I was doing a speech in Charlottetown PEI bragging about the fact I was the weatherman, and the weatherman down there is a legend named Boomer Gallant, and he said, Ron McLean wouldn't know a warm front if he wet himself. Put me in my place.
You know what? I beg to differ. I think you would, because I know I would too. Anyway, appreciate you doing this, guys. Milton this weekend. Let's get to Rogers Hometown Hockey, and it's going to be a big one. Milton Sports Center, 605 Santa Maria Boulevard. Lots going on. When does it start, and what's happening, and who's there with you this weekend?
Well, I'll weigh in because I'm just about to drop my kid off at school. So this will be the one time I'll talk. It's at the Sports Center, as you said. Everything kicks off tomorrow at noon and goes until 6 o'clock on Saturday. And then again at noon on Sunday and goes until after our viewing party, which starts 6:30 on Sunday. And it's the Islanders in Ottawa. On site, Daryl Sittler and Darcy Tucker. So they'll be signing autographs and doing photos. We have tons of bands all throughout the weekend, and in fact, Dean, I think you'll appreciate this. My former roommate / Rockstar In Excess alumnus, Susie McNeil, will be joining us for the broadcast.
Yep.
She's going to be doing a song, but also performing for the festival on Sunday afternoon as well. So that's the musical component, and then there's all kinds of hockey stuff. It's a bit of a friends and family theme, and one of Ron's closest friends is going to be also joining us.
Who's one of your closest friends? Brad Del Garno is one of your closest friends?
Yeah, I met him, funny enough, through Jim Cuddy of Blue Rodeo. We did a dinner party together one night, and Brad played for the Islanders and had the great run in 93 with Glenn Healy in goal, and David Volek scored an amazing overtime winner that knocked out the two-time Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. But Brad's he's a guy, Dean, that he walked away from the game. He fought Bob Probert in the Ontario Hockey League, and he shot up the draft rankings to number 6 overall, first rounder. Everybody thought he was going to be that guy, right, that could score and fight. And he could, but unfortunately he tangled with Joey Kosher at the very get-go, and he had his entire face caved in.
Ooh.
So he walked away from the NHL. He did ultimately come back and was part of that 93 run, and just had a great, fascinating life. So we won't have time to get into it on the air, but we'll have him on the air.
Yeah, and you know what's been great about these Rogers Hometown Hockey events specifically is some of the guys that you talk to that you get a chance to see in the different places that you start, and how appreciative all of these guys traditionally are, and how all of them are still involved in some way, shape, or form in their community and community hockey, whether you're in Saskatchewan, whether you're in Timmins, whether you're out east. It's a fascinating story that gets told every week with Rogers Hometown Hockey in the fact that all of these people traditionally that have gone on to success in the NHL and since possibly retired are now somehow heavily involved in the game and traditionally usually in their hometown communities as well.
Well, and Tara's just leaving. Bye. They want to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
She's putting me in school, so I have to leave too. No, I'm kidding. See Audrey? That's her daughter. She's heading off to school. But to give you, and just to give you an example of the stories we learn, I won't say what school for obvious reasons, security reasons, but the school Audrey attends is the school. Well, I better not say this story. I can't say this story, but because it would be a security breach. You'd figure it out ultimately, so forget that. But you learn so much, and you're so right, Dean. The guys, Tim Taylor last week in Stratford, yeah. Peter Mansbridge and Cynthia Dale came on the show. Everywhere we go, there's a... In the old days, they would come to us and say, hey, is our game being shown in my hometown? And now every game's available everywhere, but the guys just get a real kick out of bragging and having some pride in their community.
Ron McLean, our guest, Rogers Hometown Hockey again. Milton at the Milton Sports Center all weekend long leading up to the Senators-Islanders game, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet. Leaf game last night, if we can just take a little bit of your time, too. I was reading an article this morning that's talking about how now people are starting, you know, to increasingly become in small cracks, not like we saw last year because we knew what we were getting, but you're so close. You're in a lot of overtime games. You're losing a lot of overtime games in a shootout. Should people read too much into this in your guesstimation, or are you still seeing enough growth in the right areas and enough from the young kids that, all is still fine in Leafland and you got to still trust the process?
For sure, Dean. My faith is kind of in the organization. The depth of Mike Babcock and Lou Lamoriello and Mark Hunter and Brendan Shanahan, that part gives me faith right away, and I know they don't skate, but I think their eye for what will make a great team, I have every confidence in. That's probably where my faith remains steadfast. As far as you saw what Matthews did last night, I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime player, and there's a couple of them out there, Connor McDavid, of course, but he's the real deal. Mitch Marner's the real deal. Nylander, skill with skill seems to work. I know Mike Keenan in the Canada Cup in 87, he kept Mario and Wayne apart a fair bit, didn't really put them together till the best-of-three final, but obviously, talent loves to play with talent, and it looks like Nylander can read Matthews really well. So I have faith. They're going to need to make that decision on James Van Riemsdyk or Tyler Bozak, I suppose, ultimately, and they need to shore up on the blue line a bit, but they're on their way.
Ron, we have a poll question up whether or not the people like the shootout, and it seems like people dislike the shootout now. Where are you at with the skills competition?
Yeah, I it's easy to quibble. I don't like the salary caps. My only thing I ever liked. Other than that, everything else we change, you get used to it. Last night, I mean, three goalposts. How can you not find that interesting? And at core, every practice would usually involve some element of a skills competition where it's guys just standing at the slot trying to ring one off the crossbar. So I probably shouldn't decide the standings for the playoff positions in the NHL. But as a fan spectacle, it is a gimmick, but it's a good one. I find actually 3-on-3 a little more offensive, to be honest. So I always hated when the league found more offense and more penalties being called. I used to say, to analogize, how exciting would a hit in baseball be if you pulled the left and center fielder out of the equation?
Yeah.
So it's a compromised game when it's 3-on-3 for me. Exciting, but it's just a bit foolish.
Yeah, it's interesting that you have that take because, and they're all valid. I just know what I watched last night. And, you know, you talked about it earlier, Nylander and Matthews and the chemistry and three-on-three and how wide open that ice is and that nifty little pass that he batted out of the air.
Yes.
Which, you know, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that at that speed. You're not going to get those opportunities if it's five-on-five, okay, and you don't get it in a shootout either.
You're right, Dean. And come to think of it, at the World Cup of Hockey, if there was one moment that we all remember, it was when Nathan MacKinnon scored at the tail end of about a two-minute sequence where the Swedes were breakaways, and it was just electric back and forth. So I guess I'm just saying it's not legitimate hockey. You know, all sport ultimately has to have the defense as an element of it, you know, and there is no defense in that part of the game. So It is spellbinding. I think even hockey as a general rule has become a little bit up and down, ricocheting 100 miles an hour. Not a lot of sweet 3-on-2 passing plays. Just speed, it is great, and you do get a kick out of speed. But as an actual game and as an actual challenge involving defense, I think it's a bit wanting.
Real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, we've hummed and hawed and gone wow and sung his praises, and we know how good Connor McDavid is and how good he's been, leading the league in points, I believe. One guy that isn't being talked about, and his team is the best team in the Eastern Conference, and he could be flirting with 50 goals in 50 games, is Sidney Crosby. What do you attribute? It's almost like he's got new life. Is it the Conn Smythe? Is it the offseason with the World Cup? Is it the effort it took and maybe him finding himself in his professional game again to get not just into the playoffs but win a Stanley Cup last year? What's motivating him to do something we, by and large, haven't seen from him really ever at this pace?
Well, don't let me forget to mention that on Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday evening, we have a sit-down interview with Sidney. I don't know if it's Elliot or if it's David Amber. It's not me, but somebody is sitting down with Sid. So that might be a focus of the interview. I suspect it would be. Don Cherry, I thought, had an excellent point last week when he said when they snubbed him for the All-Star and he didn't get a special invite, you know, that was the moment that kind of tweaked his he had been slighted. And he took off right at the start of the new year, right around the time the final decisions were being made on the All-Star game last year. And I've seen that in the past where a superstar receives a slight and hell hath no fury like that. So that's a part of it. And then maybe the little relaxation component after having won his second Stanley Cup. You know, it's great to win one, but it happened way back in 2009, and it was starting to become a bit of a jinx that he couldn't repeat in his own head. So I think that really has put him in a perfect place. He got mad, and he was able to go out and show the world in the new year, and then he got the Stanley Cup, and that gave him a sense of belief that obviously he's carrying him. And then there's the McDavid factor, too, or McDavid effect, as the book would call it. You know, the fact he wants to show just the way Wayne Gretzky sort of met the challenge of Mario in the late 80s.
Appreciate you doing this, Ron, as always. Great to talk to you. Have fun in Milton this weekend. We'll be watching, as always, on Rogers Hometown Hockey and Hockey Night in Canada. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Dean.
Take care. Ron McLean, one of the classiest guys in the business. God, it's good to have him back on Hockey Night in Canada, too.
Well, he never left. It's just
8:45. Hold on. Your plays of the week are next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Dean Blundell and Company's Plays of the Week.
Pass in front of the goalie, score!
This is it!
It's been sausage party on the other side of the glass here today. Smells like men over there.
It stinks! Don't play steak!
There's a restaurant called Four Hands.
Four Hands?
I don't know. I'd have to look into
hands
it.
Hands or skin?
Okay. Three skin? That's a weird name for a restaurant.
Like, he gets here at 2 in the morning. I wonder what he does now.
He goes to McDonald's and eats a breakfast that he pays for.
Did you go to McDonald's this morning?
Yes.
Okay. So I figured.
You knew it.
I didn't need a study to inform me that men don't like taking their shirt off in public because we're all getting fatter.
See, I don't care. I'm old and married and I got kids.
Losers, in other words.
Well,
we talked about that tweet by John Morency. Gregorius.
Look, if you're one of them people that are planning this parade, I'll be there and I will mow you down. 10 seconds of fury.
So weak, they can't hold the lead.
Get it?
Right? Yeah, some like the old saying, hey, you're so poor you can't even pay attention. When did the crickets happen? Is that new?
You could also put the be more funny drop.
Be more funny!
Now tell the one that doesn't suck!
And that one?
A dirty slice of some grilled cheese!
With a little jazz clarinet in there. That's what it appeared to be.
It's not a bassoon?
You're a bassoon.
Boom! Roasted! Yeah.
A limited edition famed frame. Gregorian. NBA design signed art by artist.
Come on, try getting it out.
I don't know one person that goes, you know what I love about Christmas? Eggnog. Come on, eggnog?
With lots of rum.
And if it's free, it tastes extra sweet, right?
Hashtag Argos nor hashtag CFL had anything to do with that game. And
no
then
kidding,
Ricky,
it was folding. They had nothing to do with it.
Horses can't throw baseballs.
They can play football, as we've seen with John Elway.
Or star in Sex and the City for years.
Dean Blundell and Company's Plays of the Week.
There you go, Mon. Thank you very much, sir. Well done. That's pretty much it for us. Ben Ennison next for the Jeff Blair. Before we go, we're still in the giving mood, at least for another couple of days. The 12 fantastic days of Christmas. That contest continues. It's easy to play. Mm-hmm. You just sign up at the fan club. Use your points to enter to win. And then listen to our show every morning and find out if you're a winner. You're a winner.
You listen to our show, you are a winner.
Today is day seven. We're giving away two jersey chairs from My Custom Sports Chair. They're located in Stony Creek. My Custom Sports Chair is the supplier of premium, officially licensed, fully customized Adirondack-style jersey chairs. Customize your jersey chair with a name, number, and your choice of any NHL, NFL, CFL, and NCAA or international sports team logo.
That's awesome for the man cave.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah. You know what my dad called the man cave? The house.
These chairs.
You know what that means? No, he wasn't a room. It was the whole house. That was his man cave.
Yeah. These chairs are wrapped in professional...
60 minutes again, Dad?
Shush. Sorry, we gotta go. These chairs are wrapped in professional-grade 3M certified vinyl with UV stabilizers to prevent fading. They're made from 95% recycled material, plus they come with a 25-year warranty. A must-have for any sports fan. And congratulations to Steve Ashby from Brampton.
Booyah!
Nice work.
You're the winner. Monday, we will announce the winner of a Day 8 prize, a VIP ballgame experience with Rogers at the Rogers Center. Enter today for your fan club before it's gone. Yeah, I heard the one you did when I was gone. It's far better than that one. Plus, you won't shut up, so it's... All right, I can't wait for you to start vacation today. Anyway, join the fan club before it's gone and check out more incredible prizes online. Sportsnet.ca/590. Have a wonderful day. Ben and X for Jeff. We'll see you Monday. Bye.